All right, so get this. You're waiting years for this game, right? Hype is through the roof, and suddenly, bam, it's just out there.
Out there.
Not officially released, but leaked, like fully leaked.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened with the Half-Life 2 beta.
Wow.
Back in 2003. And get this, even 20 years later.
20 years.
People are still buzzing about it.
I believe it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So today we're diving into an article called Why Everyone Loves the Half-Life 2 Beta to unpack why this this unfinished legend still has such a grip on us.
I think the thing that's so fascinating about the beta is that it's not just some like relic of the past, you know, it's like this living document of how the game evolved.
Yeah.
And it's full of these little glimpses into what could have been.
Yeah, like a behind the scenes look at video game history. So before we go full deep dive on this thing, set the stage for us.
Okay.
How did this leak even happen?
Okay, so picture this, right?
Right.
You've got this German teenager.
Okay.
Named Axel Djembe.
Axel Djembe. Okay.
And somehow this kid manages to hack into Valve's servers.
No way.
Now,
he's got some skills.
Whether it was just teenage curiosity or, you know, a little bit of digital bravado, he accidentally unleashes an unfinished build of Half-Life 2 onto the internet.
Oops.
And we're not just talking a few levels here. This is like design documents, source code assets, the whole nine yards.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang, yeah.
Oh, man. I can only imagine the chaos at Valve headquarters when this happened.
Total meltdown.
Did the article mention like what kind of fallout they faced from this?
It was massive.
Yeah.
Estimates put the cost of the leak at like $250 million.
What?
$250 million.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and that's not just lost revenue. Think about the impact on their development timeline. The pressure from the fans, it was a PR nightmare.
Yeah, talk about a high score you don't want.
Exactly.
But didn't something good actually come out of this whole mess?
Like a phoenix from the ashes?
Something about Gary's mod.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Like the butterfly effect in action,
yeah,
right?
Right.
This huge security breach, as disastrous as it was for Valve at the time, it accidentally spawned one of the most popular game modification tools ever.
Wow.
The stuff that leaked it became this playground for modders. And some of those modders, they went on to create Gary's mod, which changed PC gaming forever.
That's actually insane to think about, like, this chaotic event gave rise to a whole new way to play games.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
That's wild. Okay, let's get back to the beta itself.
Okay.
What was it actually like to play?
You know how sometimes you see those behind-the-scenes photos from a movie set?
Yeah.
And it kind of changes how you see the actual film?
Right.
That's kind of what the Half-Life 2 beta is like.
Okay, interesting.
One of the most striking things you notice right off the bat is just how much darker and grittier City 17 was originally supposed to be.
Yeah, the article mentioned this whole gritty beta thing.
Oh, yeah.
Was it just like a visual difference or did it actually like change the whole feel of the game?
It really makes you think, you know.
Yeah.
Imagine instead of that like oppressive but strangely sterile atmosphere of the final game, you're dropped into this City 17 that's just choked with this like thick green smog.
Oh, wow.
Citizens are wearing gas masks. Like, it's nothing. And there are even like whispers of child labor fueling the city's machinery.
Dark.
It's bleak. It's brutal. And honestly, it's pretty unsettling.
It's giving Black Mirror vibes.
A little bit, yeah.
It really makes you wonder why they shifted away from that, though.
Right.
Like bleakness and Half-Life, they kind of go hand in hand. You know what I mean?
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
It really makes you appreciate the art of game design and how even like a small shift in the atmosphere,
yeah,
can completely change how you play your experiences of the game.
For sure.
Maybe they felt like it was just too much, too oppressive.
Yeah, just too real.
Yeah, or maybe they wanted to leave some of those horrors to our imagination. Whatever the reason, it's just so fascinating to see how their vision for the game evolved over time.
Absolutely. So we talked about the overall vibe.
Yeah.
But what about like actual cut content?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of stuff are we talking about here?
There are some real gems in there.
Okay, like what?
For example, there's this place called the Air Exchange.
Okay.
This massive structure that looks like it was ripped straight out of Halo.
What?
And it hints at this grander scale for how you can, like, manipulate the environment in the Half-Life universe.
Oh, wow.
Even suggesting that the Combine might have been terraforming Earth to their liking.
That's intense. Funny. That's way more intense than just, like, a few extra enemies or weapons.
For sure.
It really makes you wonder what the developers were originally going for.
Exactly. It gives us this glimpse into their ambitions for the game.
Right.
And then there's the Hyperborea.
The Hyperboreas?
The Hyperborea.
Okay.
Imagine this whole level set on this massive icebreaker ship frozen in time.
Oh, okay, that sounds kind of incredible, actually.
Right.
Was it just like a cool setting, or was there more to it? This Hyperborea thing, it's not just some random ship, right?
Yeah.
The article was hinting at something about time travel.
Yeah.
And maybe even a connection to Half-Life 3.
You're picking up what we're putting down.
Okay, good.
The Hyperborea is like this massive question mark right in the middle of the beta.
Okay.
It's not a ton of concrete info about it.
Right.
But the little bits of code and design documents that we do have, they suggest it was going to be a huge part of the game.
Okay.
Potentially even involving time travel shenanigans.
Time travel in Half-Life.
Imagine that.
Okay, now I see why this thing still has people digging around.
Yeah.
It's like someone handed you a puzzle that's missing half the pieces. But you know the picture is something amazing.
Exactly. And you can't help but wonder if those missing pieces might hold the key to Half-Life 3.
Right.
You know, the one we're all still waiting for.
The Holy Grail.
Exactly. And this wasn't the only big idea that got left on the cutting room floor. Remember how we were talking about those marketing discrepancies?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it turns out that what Valve was showing off before the leak didn't exactly line up with the beta.
You're telling me those legendary E3 demos weren't all they were cracked up to be?
Let's just say there was some very, very clever editing and some carefully planned choreography going on. Don't get me wrong, the tech behind it was incredible. And those demos were a huge part of why everyone and their grandma was hyped for Half-Life 2.
For sure.
But when you actually look at the beta levels,
yeah,
it's pretty clear that what they were showing off at E3, it was more like a carefully constructed movie set than what the actual game looked like at the time.
So it was all smoke and mirrors to get people hyped.
A little bit, yeah. But hey, it worked, right?
I mean, yeah, it worked.
Half-Life 2 was a phenomenon.
Totally. But it does kind of make you wonder, like, where's the line between marketing and straight-up misdirection?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope, and it gets even weirder.
How?
When you realize that even after the leak went out,
yeah,
Valve's official marketing material,
whoa,
still had all these images and references to content that wasn't even in the game anymore.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Why would they do that if they knew it wasn't going to be in the final release?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
Was it just a weird oversight, or were they intentionally trying to keep some of the mystery and intrigue of the original vision alive?
Ah.
It's something that fans still debate to this day.
Wow.
And it just goes to show how this leak still gets people talking and speculating, even now.
Yeah, I get it. It's like finding out your favorite band scrapped a whole album's worth of music.
Exactly.
You can't help but be curious about what those lost tracks would have sounded like.
Precisely. And in the same way that music lovers obsess over unreleased tracks.
Right.
Gamers have spent the last two decades poring over every single detail of the Half-Life 2 beta.
Yeah, it's become its own little subculture.
Absolutely. This leak didn't just reveal some cut content. It spawned an entire community dedicated to exploring it, dissecting it, and even recreating what could have been.
It's like digital archaeology.
It really is. There's like digital Indiana Jones is piecing together fragments of code and design docs to bring these lost pieces of the game back to life.
That's actually really cool.
It's really impressive. And there's this real sense of passion and dedication there.
Yeah.
This desire to not just experience what might have been,
right,
but to actually preserve it and share it with others.
It's like a form of digital resurrection.
Yeah, I like that.
But there's like a flip side to all this too, right?
How so?
Like, can too much focus on this what-if version of the game overshadows the actual finished product?
That's the double-edged sword of the whole thing, isn't it? The Half-Life 2 beta, it offers this incredible behind-the-scenes look at how games are made.
For sure.
But it's important to remember, that's all it is. It's just a peek behind the curtain.
Okay.
It's super easy to get caught up in the allure of what could have been.
Right.
And completely forget that Half-Life 2, even without all the cut content, is still a masterpiece.
Yeah, you have a point. It's like being so obsessed with a band's early demo tapes.
Right.
That you never fully appreciate their later, more polished albums.
Exactly. It's all about balance. But I think there's also something to be said for how the beta challenges our perceptions of what a game is and how it's made.
That's true.
It reminds us that these virtual worlds we get so invested in,
yeah,
they're the result of countless choices, compromises, you know?
Right.
And even in their unfinished form, they can still have this hold on us.
Speaking of hold, what about the whole Valve and fan relationship?
What about it?
Did the leak change things between them?
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Like, on the one hand, you've got these passionate fans who just want to, like, dig deeper into the games they love.
Right.
But then there's Valve pouring their blood, sweat, and tears into making these amazing experiences.
Yeah.
It's easy to see how a leak like this could really mess things up.
It's that classic creator versus audience thing, isn't
it? Really.
Like, where does appreciation stop and entitlement begin?
Right.
And that's a question that goes way beyond gaming, if you think about it.
Oh, for sure.
Leaked movie scripts, unfinished novels. People are obsessed with the creative process.
Yeah.
But that obsession can sometimes backfire.
Big time. And in the case of Half-Life 2, it seems like that obsession hasn't gone away at all.
Not even a little bit.
2 decades later, and people are still picking apart the beta.
I know. It's incredible.
Making mods, debating it.
It really says something about the power of this one game and this one leak. You know, the Half-Life 2 beta, it wasn't just a bunch of unfinished stuff. It was like a portal to a world that could have existed.
Right.
And for a lot of people that alternate reality, it's just too tempting to resist.
It's like a siren song.
Exactly.
So as we like resurface from this deep dive into the Half-Life 2 beta.
Back to reality,
right? Yeah. What's like the main thing you want our listeners to take away from this conversation?
I think the biggest takeaway is that even unfinished creative work, it can still have a huge impact.
Right.
The Half-Life 2 beta, it wasn't just some forgettable blip in gaming history.
Right.
It sparked all these conversations. It fueled fan projects. It even made us question the whole relationship between game devs and the people who play their games.
It's like that saying, art is never finished, only abandoned.
Ooh, I like that.
And sometimes that abandoned art can be even more powerful than we ever imagined.
Couldn't agree more. And for anyone listening who's spent time with Half-Life 2 beta,
yeah,
it really makes you think.
Think about what?
Does getting this peek behind the curtain, does it make the game better for you?
Mm.
Or does knowing what could have been kind of ruin the magic of the finished game?
That's a really good question, actually.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one, and that is exactly what we're going to leave you with today.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
Does the Half-Life 2 beta, with all its rough edges and tantalizing what-ifs,
yeah,
does it add to the game's legacy or take away from it?
Mm.
We'd love to hear what you think.
Hit us up.
And hey, while you're thinking about it, let us know this.
Okay.
If you could explore the beta of any game in existence.
Of any game.
Which one would it be and why?
Ooh, good question.
Right.
I'm gonna have to think about that one.
Yeah, until next time, happy gaming, everyone.
Happy gaming.